Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my great pleasure to be joined tonight by Dave and Cameron from the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave and Cameron.
Hi, Michael. This is Cameron and Dave's here.
Great. How are you today?
Just really fine. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good.
And I have a question for you.
Okay.
What's happening at the monastery?
Wow. Well, lots of things are happening at the monastery. We're moving rapidly through seasons, day by day. We go from winter to spring and then back to winter in the same day.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah. And we've completed a complete pruning of all the fruit trees and some of the ornamental trees on the property and trimming of the shrubs. And we're getting seeds in the ground for our summer garden. We've got them in the greenhouse.
Great.
Yeah. And that's among many other things, too. That's kind of the area that I've been most involved in. But
yeah,
there's just lots. We're preparing for a month-long retreat.
Yes.
Got some folks coming for a deepening practice retreat for the month of April.
Right.
So we're preparing for that. And we've started the very first steps of our Hermitage Upgrade project. And we've got someone out in the garden right now. I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but they're starting to, our hip-high weeds are starting to come down.
Oh, great.
And so, lots going on.
So those seedlings in the greenhouse will go into the ground after the weeds are taken out.
They will. We'll have to weed all the weeds. The weeds are being cut down with a weed eater, and then we have to kind of, I think, dig all the roots out of the garden and make the soil all really nice for them. And I think the soil's going to have to get a bit warmer before we actually put them in there, but they're going to grow tall and little bit taller and stronger before we do that, too.
Oh, right. Great.
Yeah.
And for those of us who aren't familiar with gardening or pruning, maybe you can tell me and perhaps the rest of us what an ornamental tree is. I'm guessing it's one that has flowers, perhaps? Or
yes, like the one I was thinking of. I don't know officially if that's the right word, Michael, to tell you the truth, honestly. But we just completed trimming a lilac. And so I called it ornamental because it doesn't, as far as I know, doesn't create any fruit or anything. It's just a beautiful tree.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And it,
yeah, I'd heard that term before, and I wasn't sure exactly.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up now and see if I misused the term or not. But the lilac has beautiful little green shoots on it right now, and it's just real exciting to see the new growth starting. And some of the fruit trees have actually already made some beautiful blossoms, pink.
Oh, great. And what kind of fruit will we be expecting from these trees?
Well, we have peach, we have apple, we have cherry, we have walnuts and pecan, and we have olive trees.
Oh, wow. You've got, in my mind, you've got dessert covered and several other courses covered as well there.
Yeah, Michael, this is Dave. We've got a lot covered, actually. I don't know if you can tell from what Cameron's saying, just how much is going on here right now. And on a process level, it's really kind of a big, high-energy time here at the monastery. We actually, over the winter, consciously have decided that we need to really focus on the monastery physical level.
Uh-huh.
And make sure, put good systems in place, put good communication systems in place, and really get the big picture and find out what we want to do and what do we need to do in order to accomplish that. And I think we're really starting to see the kind of the effects of that. We actually had a meeting earlier today where everybody who has any responsibility on a physical level at the monastery, we get in one place at one time every week, and we exchange information, get the big picture, find out what's going on, and kind of, iron out all the details. And it's fun because we all kind of get in on the energy of it that way.
Yeah.
And there's somebody in that meeting mentioned synergy, and it feels like there's a synergy happening where all that energy comes together, and in this magical way you can't really explain, more starts happening than it seems possible that could be happening with the number of people we've got
yes.
doing this stuff.
Yes.
And that's really fun. And, you know, there's so many examples of it. You know, Cameron's mentioned the gardening. That's something that we've been attempting to, you know, kind of really get some good energy and organization behind for the past couple of years. And it feels like it's really coming together this year. We've got some projects that have been on a list forever, some kind of hard things to do. Like, for example, we did a full maintenance on the tractor in these past couple of weeks. We did a full maintenance on our generator. And tomorrow, this is one that's been on the list for, you know, a couple, 3 years. Uh-huh. Tomorrow, actually, we are tiling one of the showers in one of our bathrooms. It's kind of a big job and takes all this preparation and everything. It's actually going to happen tomorrow.
Wow.
And so it's like all these things are coming together in the way that it feels like we've been wanting them to come together for a really long time. And for some reason, it hasn't really felt like we have the means. But now suddenly we have the means, and it's coming together, and there's a lot of energy being produced in that, and I think we're all really enjoying that process.
Yeah, that's great. And as you were beginning talking, I really get a sense of the power that comes from conscious, compassionate awareness from a group of people who come together with a common goal and a supportive process and really focus their attention on something. It's amazing what can be done.
Yeah, it's really true. And it's so practiced, too, which I enjoy, you know, because we all start off as isolated individuals with our own idea about the way things are and kind of on our own surviving in the world. And a big part of what happens in a community like this is over time, you know, we give that up. And what we get instead is a sense of belonging to a larger entity, you know, the we that's here. And, you know, people will talk about, you know, when you move from an I to a we, it's the energy, it doesn't add together. Like you've got six people, it's not, you know, one plus one plus one. It's, you know, it multiplies. And so there's like an exponential movement of the energy that's larger than any of the, you know, the individuals just put together in a way that's really kind of mysterious, like I said before, but it's really fun to participate in.
Oh, yes. That's my experience of it, definitely. It's also my experience that conditioning will cling on to, you know, what I need, what's important to me, and, of course, everything's counterintuitive to conditioning. But to give that up, I really end up receiving much more than I could have imagined.
Indeed. Yeah, I was thinking when Dave was talking about the exponential increase in energy, I was thinking about how a few increments on the Richter scale of an earthquake makes it so much bigger. It's kind of like that, you know, that there's just the energy that comes out is just really powerful.
And I get a real sense of it as you two are talking about the process and all the projects that are going on. It's really exciting.
Yeah, and another fun thing about it for me, Cameron mentioned this about the retreats coming up. You know, we're getting ready. In the wintertime, it's pretty quiet around here because it's cold and it rains a lot and we don't tend to have a lot of company. But pretty soon, you know, the weather's changing and, like, the daffodils are blooming and the frogs are chirping now and, you know, like Cameron mentioned, a lot of the trees are budding out. And, you know, it's time for people to start showing up, and they will. You know, starting April 1st, we're going to have 8 intrepid folks here for the month, and then a week later, we have a full house for the Not What But How retreat, and then we've got a couple There's Nothing Wrong With the retreats coming up that are already filling, and so there's a lot of people coming into it, and it's nice to think of them coming into this energy that we're creating, especially like the DPTers, that's the deepening practice training people, and the Not What But How folks, so they'll actually be helping us with with the gardening and the different work. So they'll get to, like, jump in on that energy. And so that synergy that we're creating will just kind of get a little larger and swallow up the next group of people who are here.
Yes, yes, it's really great. And I was thinking, as you have those seedlings in the greenhouse, it's really like you're preparing the ground. You're preparing the monastery for everything that's going to come.
That's a beautiful analogy, Michael. Tie it all together.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, you have to get all the conditions kind of right and it attend to things in a careful kind of way, and then there's the environment that's rich for growth.
Exactly so.
Yeah, I know we're just about out of time, Michael, but one more thing to throw in. A part of our project to kind of look long term is to make a plan for the year and really step back and see what we want to accomplish, and that's we've just really kind of started that process, but I think that's going to be fun too. you know, then there's, we've got all kinds of ideas. One of them is a very generous benefactor has donated some money to buy some solar panels and other things to upgrade our solar system. So that's a really fun possibility for us. We're looking at expanding the dining area for the, outside the, in the courtyard, so people will have other places to eat. We want to do some, re-up our outshowers and make some outshowers that are very beautiful and pleasant for people to use. We've got a couple buildings to finish and, all kinds of stuff like that. So we're looking at kind of the year and what we want to accomplish so that we can, support ourselves in carrying that energy through the year, keeping the big picture in mind so we don't lose it when we get really busy when all these folks arrive.
Yes. It sounds really exciting. It's great. Cameron, Dave, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Good night. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening. That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. And you got a little weather report from up here. I tell you, those people are brave. It's just crazy. You're going around, and then all of a sudden the temperature drops like 30 degrees.
Wow.
And they're out there in the garden, but they're so tough, and their hearts are pure, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
And they're making it all gorgeous for all of us so that we can just show up there when the weather is perfect and enjoy the fruits of their labor. So it's selfless service on top of everything else.
Just gets better and better.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of announcements here.
Thanks.
Sherry, in exactly 1 week, you will be in San Francisco at the First Unitarian Universalist Church, and you'll be talking about the key, and the name of the key is willingness.
Yes, and I always want to emphasize and anything else that anybody wants to talk about.
Yes.
I'll consider it a miracle if we stay on that topic for more than about 90 seconds, but it does give us a focus.
Yes. And tickets to that can be purchased on the website. You can get to the website via the Living Compassion website.
Oh, okay.
And that's next Tuesday, March 16th. And on Saturday, March 27th, which is coming up pretty soon, there'll be another at-home working meditation retreat. And you can sign up for that on the website, too. And
good.
Then, at the end of April, Sherry, you will be in Hawaii.
I will.
Yes. For
what a hardship tour that is, huh?
Yes. For a Friday evening talk, I'm guessing, and a Saturday workshop.
Yeah, well, it's actually both workshops. So we just start
both
on
workshops.
Friday evening, and then we carry on into Saturday.
Oh, great. Great. And that will be in Honolulu. And details are coming, and we'll be up on the website very soon.
Hmm.
And there's still time to sign up for the Green Cove Retreat in North Carolina. And this will be guided by you, Sherry, and it's a great opportunity for those not only on the East Coast, but also in Europe.
Oh, precisely. It is
yeah.
a perfect location for people traveling from abroad.
Yes. Yes. An opportunity to attend a retreat closer to home.
And talk about beautiful.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, and springtime in those mountains, I'll tell you, it just doesn't get much better than that.
Yes. Comparable only to spring in the Sierra foothills.
Precisely. that's a really good point. We're so lucky to have these beautiful places that we can go to, including Santa Sabina and New Year's, when
yes.
it's just so not pleasant to be camping, which is kind of what we do a lot of the time when we're on retreat. And, not literally, but it can feel that way because we have such an outdoor lifestyle. And then we go to this beautiful place where we can be inside and warm and dry and all of that. We're very lucky.
And, Sherry, the last thing I want to mention is a reminder to people if they could stick to one topic for their call when they're calling in.
Uh-huh.
As you talked about a couple weeks ago.
Don't let me drag them off into all these extraneous directions. Okay, that's good, because it is true that we have more callers usually than we can get to, and so
yeah,
if we all stay kind of focused and tidy in our focus, then maybe we can get everybody on.
And speaking of everybody, they are waiting here to talk. Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vivian from Altadena.
Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Sherry. I just wanted to, first of all, say how grateful I am for the show and for the archives. So just thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
You're very welcome. Let me ask you this. Do we accompany you quite a lot around in your life?
Oh, yes, yes. When I was employed, I would listen to the podcast and the archives like at least half of my 8-hour day. And I've learned a lot the last 3 years that I've listened. Basically, what I'm learning right now is that the voices are manageable for me until something really bad happens.
Yep.
And then and they're just having a free for all. They're having the best time they've had in a long time. Basically, my content real quick is that I got laid off, and about a year and a half I've been happy, really, really happy, because I did all the things that I told myself I would do if I had the time to do them.
Uh-huh.
But now reality has hit, and or so-called reality, and I find myself that I really do need to get back in there and try and get some way to pay my bills. And what's happening is that I'm becoming this little 3-year-old that's really scared. And then the voices say, well, at your age, you're going to be making such and such, and you're, so I know to shut down the voices, but I'm actually dealing with a physical, like, sad, like, scared pain in my gut, you know, my solar plexus, but actually below that.
Mm-hmm. And that's, from what you've presented, that's that's the result of everybody kind of abandoning this little child to be subjected to those voices.
Yes. And the voices are great at telling me that, well, you know, so much for your positivity.
Okay.
And so much for,
yeah, after they,
you know,
after they beat you bloody, they say things like, well, you don't look so healthy now.
Yeah. What happened to the positive and the happy and, you know, and it, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. What did?
I think that some growing up has been happening, where for the time that I was happy, I was kind of like having my head in the sand, and really, you know, and really what it was I was very trusting of the universe, because things have worked out really well in my life before. And I think a year and a half of just keeping up the trusting part, and so far nothing's happened.
Okay, now let me ask you this. So all this time, have you been looking for work and you haven't found anything?
I have been looking for work. I actually got as close as a second interview at a company that I really wanted to work at, and they ended up not and with someone else.
Uh-huh.
Looking for the job has not been something that has consumed me for years. I would say that it's been like maybe within like the last 5 months, four or five months that I've really been trying. I keep telling myself, well, you know, something will come along, something will happen. And it's not that I'm not, you know, I don't expect something to just knock at my door. But I think that the time, the voices are trying to play with time, with the
yeah.
timing of it.
Yeah.
You know, six, sorry.
Well, no, I'm just gonna project, okay? So you were going along, and you were really having a good time, and you were focused on doing these things that you had always wanted to do but didn't have time to do because you were working full-time, and you're
yep.
in a place of, you know, life has always taken care of me. Why should this be any different, okay?
Yep.
And then it occurs to you that, okay, well, now would be a good time to go to work. I might want to start down that path. And that, here's my projection, that shift in attention opened a door for the voices to come through. And suddenly, they have an argument that you are going to buy into.
Yep.
Yep. And then every day that goes by, they pile on a little more. And slowly, over the last 4 or 5 months, you've gone from all of your time and energy and focus and attention was on, this is great, I'm having a fabulous life, to, oh my God. Nothing has really changed except that now the focus of your attention is on the voices. So where before it was life in all its glory, now it's doom and gloom of the voices of conditioning.
Yes, absolutely. And the whole time, you know, when I've really my whole thing is that the voices tell me things like, oh, you need to pay your bills. And then the voices come in and say, you really don't want to work. You're a musician. You're an artist. You want to work at your music, but, you know, oh, but that's not going to pay the bills. And so it's a constant back and forth of,
you know, what you're describing there is
mm-hmm.
a situation that we all know. Trust me on this one. Okay. I mean, this is the human condition. But you're not even a part of that. What I picture when you describe it is there you are sitting in the bleachers as this tennis match is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So one side says what it says, and then the other side says what it says, and then that's it, and it just goes back and forth. There's an appearance that it has something to do with your life, but you are so completely excluded from it as they go back and forth with their you should, you can't, you don't want to, you this, you. There's no I.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Are we in agreement on that?
Yes.
Okay, good. So now then what we're looking for the that period of time when you were focused on life and having a good time, it was not an abandoned 3-year-old who was living life.
Right.
Right? And so
yep.
it was somebody who could create an environment in which all these little folks could feel safe and secure and have fun and enjoy themselves.
Very much so. Kind of like before I was put into school when I was like 4 or 5 years old, I remember the feeling. I remember the day my dad said, you're going to kindergarten. And I'm like, what? And that it's very similar. It was really the most freeing time in my life.
Yeah. Okay. So all of that still exists. And
okay.
The work is going to be to remove your attention from the voices and turn it back to that relationship with
okay.
another character. Okay. And the character who has been, you know, not really visible in all of this is the mentor.
Yes.
Yeah. But that the mentor has not been far away because the mentor is the one who gets you to listen to the archives of the radio show, who gets you to focus on awareness practices, who had you call into the radio show.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that person is very much there directing your life and able to direct your life, guide you and encourage you and coach you and that sort of thing. And provide that safe environment for those little people.
Yes.
Which doesn't mean you don't need to get a job.
Yeah.
It's just that you don't need to get a job out of a place of panic.
That's where I'm at right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because here's the deal with that. If being in a place of panic got you a job, I'd say, you go. You know, I would say things to scare you, okay? But in fact, as we know, it's just the opposite. Being in that place of panic is the fastest way not to get something that we're trying to get.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when we're around people who are desperate, it doesn't inspire confidence in us.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I have a job interview tomorrow for somewhere that I really don't want to work, making half of what I used to make and having to drive like an hour away. And I see the mentor as going on the job interview and seeing what, you know, just going through the motions of going to the job interview and doing that because it would mean a paycheck. And then I see this 3-year-old as really just like sad, not wanting to do that. But I don't feel that I have a choice.
Well,
so I don't know if
here's the deal though. That 3-year-old is not going to be sad as long as you are there, the mentor is there, providing love and care and fun.
Okay.
Yeah. 3-year-olds, they don't care. You could take a 3-year-old to the most grisly job in the world, and as long as they have a place to be and they're with you and they feel loved and cared for and they're getting attention, they're totally happy. I was just in a restaurant recently, and there was a little girl in there. I guess it was her mother who she was with. And the grown person, who was in her early 20s, was waiting tables and bussing tables and that sort of thing. And this little girl, who looked like she was about 4 years old, went around with her and was helping her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they were having such a good time. Everybody in that restaurant wanted to be with them instead of doing what we were doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that little kid was just she was having so much fun. So it's not the 3-year-old. It's somebody else sneaking in there saying this is sad and this is depressing. And so here's my best encouragement to you, okay? And then you're going to stay in touch with us, right, and let us know how all this plays out.
Yes.
The attitude of, you know, I don't know what's best. I'm just going to trust life because I've always been taken care of.
Yes.
So if
that's
this,
very true.
Yeah, if this is where I am right now, then I'm just in a holding pattern until something better opens up, because that's my experience of life.
That's true.
Yeah, and so I will do whatever I'm called to do with all of the enthusiasm and willingness and love and compassion and kindness and attention that I can manage in each and every moment. And what's best for me is always going to be what happens.
Yes. And I assume that keeping up my meditation would probably be a good thing too.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I recently started to meditate while I've had this time off, and
uh-huh.
I understand what the big deal is now.
Yeah.
I understand. It really helps. It really helps a lot. So the trick for me is to do it in times like these, as I'm sure everyone else.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, we do it in times like these. We most people come to a meditation practice, awareness practice, when they're desperate. They do.
Right.
And then times get good and we kind of slide off and forget, you know, who loves us. And then things go bad again and we go, I think I want to get back here to some compassion. And that's okay. That's how it works. So, you know, right now you take that little 3-year-old and you put her on your lap and you two meditate and remind yourselves that it's okay. You're together and it's going to be fine. Always has been and always will be.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Stay in touch.
I will.
Okay.
I will. Thank you.
Good. Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Vivian. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was fun and exciting.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's it's the same. The rules are the same, you know, no matter where we are in life and what's going on. And it's so hard, at least in my experience, it's so hard to get. It wasn't my music, so I don't really know. But there were lyrics to a song that went, "You don't always get what you want,
yeah,
but you always get what you need."
Yeah.
And you know, it captures it really nicely.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to see it when we're in the middle of it. It's always so easy to see when we look back. I just wrote a tweet today, you know, for Practice Everywhere, that was talking about how when we accept the past, our hearts are filled with gratitude.
Yeah.
And learning to trust that this very difficult time that I'm in right now is going to pass, and I'm going to be transformed in this process, and one day I'll look back on this, and I'll be grateful for the transformation.
Yes. Yes, yes, that's my experience.
Yeah.
And for me, finding the willingness to stay with that.
Yeah, it's just so tricky in the situation.
Yes.
But that's where compassion and faith and trust build. You know, that's where those muscles get built up.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, I think it's a great time to stop, drop, and breathe.
Oh, always, huh?
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, this is Tammy in Asheville.
Hi there.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad.
In the big picture.
Well, I'm well in the big picture. I'm glad I get to talk to you. I was kind of moved by the end of that last conversation, but I haven't called in about a year. I was going to give just a little content in relationship to what's going on, process
mm-hmm.
going on right now, but I was diagnosed with colon cancer last July and proceeded to have surgery that was very successful, but I had to go through chemotherapy, and I just finished 6 months of that. And so I'm well, and things look great. I guess I don't probably have to tell you how the voices have been through this. I've just kind of entered into a different realm of voices. So,
give us just a couple of examples, just for people who haven't had that kind of experience to know what
you're
listening to.
I'll say this. One of the reasons I'm calling tonight, other than for some support, is that I've heard a voice all the way through this that said, you should not call in because this is way too intense to talk about on open air. And that's been a real predominant one, that this is the big thing that, you know, we talk about voices and things that come up in our life, but this was the big thing. You know, this really is the most serious thing. And so that
and
I
so you should have no support.
Well, yeah, that I guess that's where I would assume that voice, that's what they're saying, that particular personality. But the reality is that I've had incredible support. I am completely full of gratitude. I've had the best medical care, family and friend support, and the most clarity amidst the most fog I've ever been in my life. But what's, you know, I called tonight because I'm tired of hearing that voice, for one. You know, I don't think it's not true, for one.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure that people in the Sangha could handle hearing about that. And you could handle hearing that.
Well, and of course, the reality is that there's probably nobody in the Sangha, I think we can know this for sure, whose lives have not been touched by that topic, right? Mm-hmm. Either they've had cancer, somebody they love has had cancer, somebody they care about has died of cancer. You know, it's just,
right.
That's the
right.
world we live in. And as soon as, I mean, I'm sure you had that experience, you know, you didn't know anybody who had anything like this. And then as soon as you're diagnosed, it's like everybody you know has been touched by it. We just don't talk about it.
Well, one of, you know, along with some of the voices, I'll give some other examples if people could relate, is I'm at my age, it came as a complete shock, as I guess probably anybody getting that diagnosis would, but especially this type of cancer. And despite the medical experts telling me that this is genetic and there, you know, there's no link to you know, the voices have just really tried to make this my fault.
Oh, it's your fault. Absolutely.
You know, and I've seen that's not, I mean, I've been told by, flat out by 3 or 4 different physicians, you know, that this is just, it's difficult. It's just this thing that happens, you know, we can't explain it.
And here's the deal. Here's the thing about it. What kind of sick so-and-so would say to somebody, this is your fault, even if it were? You know, if you had been a smoker all of your life and you got lung cancer, nobody with an ounce of loving kindness, compassion, or just simple good sense would say, well, you know, this is your fault.
Right.
It's just too cruel.
It's ugly. Yeah, it's ugly.
It's ugly.
And, you know, I have had many questions and voices about, you know, I mean, I've led a very athletic and healthy lifestyle. And, you know, that just adds to that whole, I don't know, that adds more to that conversation in my head. But, you know, at this point, too, now I've finished chemo and, I haven't been so clear mentally through this just because that's the nature of going through this process and being, you know, going through chemo. But what I'm seeing now is it's sort of a phase 3 where I'm okay, but I'm entering to this phase of what to do, feeling kind of lost, it's allowing maybe a little more time for more of it. I've had a task, you know, to get through chemo. I've had this project I'm working on. I'm doing this treatment. Now I don't have that, and I'm...
Yeah.
Feeling kind of out there, and
it's kind of a loss.
Now there's a whole new set of voices coming in, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a loss of identity, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
In the sense of, well, this is who I am because this is what I'm doing and this is what's going on.
Well, I've had since this diagnosis, it's been nonstop, you know, this, go to get surgery, recover from that, start chemo, you know, it's been so much whirlwind, and now that's over, and I'm...
Yeah.
Sort of just in the, we'll watch you and do some scans for the next 2 years, but, you know, you go and have your life, and I'm just like, go have my life. You know, what happened to my life? Where did it go, you know?
Well, that's true. You know, the really good news about this, except for the voices trying to ruin it for you, is it's kind of it's like being born again.
Well, I will say this, that New Year's came around, many people... I've noticed a lot of projection on me through this with lots of people, family, friends, you know. One of the projections was, boy, I bet you're glad 2009 is over. And what occurred to me is that, you know, God, 2009 was my best year. I mean, I found out what was going on, and I had the best medical care and the best love and support from friends and family. I mean, that's the year I woke up. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, I'm ready to move on forward,
but
it's not like, let's get rid of that. Oh, that was horrible. I mean, in many ways, it's been the most beautiful time of my life ever, you know?
Yeah, yep.
I don't know if you know, but that was my feeling.
Yeah,
so,
and
yes,
that's that looking back and making peace with our lives and the experience of that is gratitude. And the content is irrelevant.
Yeah. When this came up, nothing but love and gratitude were there. It just to be surrounded by, you know, to be availed the medical care that I could get, and you know, just so many dimensions of it.
And so many people who would die, live their whole lives and die without having those kinds of expressions of love and care.
Right.
Simply because their life circumstances never put them in a position where people needed to show up for them in that way, or where they needed to receive it in that way.
Right, right. Well, you know, one of the other things that's interesting is my Enneagram, on the Enneagram, my type has been sort of a helper and a taking care of everything, and this put me in a position of complete, I needed, you know, help.
Yeah.
And care, and it's just transformed relationships. It's been very beautiful. You know, I can honestly say that I'm full of gratitude, and now I'm full of fear and what to do next. And
this is sort of a continuation of the last call, isn't it? In the sense that, boy, do you know that you have always been taken care of?
Right, right.
And then there's that little gap where, okay, that's over. Now, in transition, you know, that's the hardest place for humans. So there's that transition. Okay, here I am. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do next. Boom, in comes egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and says, aha, a place for us.
Right. That's what I could relate to, is that I'm sort of in that same place.
Yeah.
It's not totally over, this process. I know that too. There's a lot of surveillance and things, but everything's different in my life because now, you know, it's sort of like that. It sounds stupid, but I've realized, I am going to die at some point. Oh,
right.
I thought that just happened to everybody else. You know, didn't get that something would happen, and I don't. And I'm probably not going to die of this, and I'm not. Won't be anytime soon. But
right.
But I can never go back to that assumption that everything's just always okay.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, thank
you know,
God. Thank God.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Thank God. Ignorance is not bliss. Yeah?
Well, I guess not. I guess not.
No. No, it's not. We know it's not. So here's the deal. This is what occurs to me anyway, and you can see if you like it. What a fabulous time to get to know her.
Yeah.
This new person. Because if you go with the impulse that's there now, it's going to be conditioning, taking over, to attempt to get you back into the same life you lived before. But you're not the same person. It's not the same life. There's nothing the same about it.
No.
And so you are a brand new person. Now, of course, we could say that's true with all of us in every moment. It's true with all of us every day. But we don't get it. But you really do get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to take the time not to know, but to get to know her.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful opportunity.
Yeah.
Again, not the kind of thing that a lot of people get to experience. You know what I mean by that?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Because of who you are, because of what you bring to this. It's not that a ton of people don't survive cancer, but they don't have necessarily all of the awareness, the conscious awareness, the wisdom, the experience, the perspective, really to take advantage of it.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, part of getting to know her, I mean, in many ways, I'm forced because I'm so exhausted from the whole, you know, I have to recover from all this.
Recovering.
There's not a lot of activity going on anyway, if I wanted to, because just the sheer physical exhaustion. So,
yeah. So that's your job.
That's an opportunity. Yeah, that's my job.
Yeah. You spend time with her. You get to know her. You heal all kinds of things that have nothing to do really with the physical.
And how about, the fear part of this, that now I'm moving into this phase of, you know, now the voices are, is it going to come back and picturing all these things?
Fear
and...
is ego. It's trying to reassert itself in your life. It's trying to establish a place. Truly, that's all it is. And so the work always is to turn our attention away from the fear, away from the voices of fear, turn our attention to the human, and make that such a loving, close, we could say exclusive relationship that there's really no room for egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hatred to have a place in it. So you're going to be taking care of every aspect of yourself from a place of conscious, compassionate awareness.
I'm glad you mentioned the fear-ego connection, because for some reason I have forgotten that.
Yeah, well, it wants us to forget it regularly.
Yeah, I forgot to make that connection.
Yep.
Recently. So.
Yep, and that's all it's doing. It's just.
I'm identifying a lot with that, and I can see that.
It's reasserting itself. Okay, the crisis is over, and now it's time to reestablish its territory. And your job, obviously, and of course, as has always been the case, but even clearer now, is not to let it regain that territory.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. You know, we're coming to your neighborhood.
I know.
Hey,
I was just thinking at the end of the last call about Green Cove, and then, of course, I immediately hear, well, you don't know what the doctor and this and that, and can you go? Are you going to feel... Anyway,
but here's the deal.
Started up about it.
The folks are in negotiations, I think, with Malaprops
mm-hmm.
for me to come and speak there. So even if you don't make it to the retreat, you can make it to Malaprops.
I can. I made it. I came last time you were there to Malaprops.
Okay. And when we're both there, come up and say hello, please.
I will. Thank you, Sherry.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Tammy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Very courageous people out there, Sherry.
Pardon me?
Very courageous people out
there. Oh, my God. Yeah. Heroic.
Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of...
Or Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have more callers here.
Right.
Caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Peter, and I'm calling from China.
Well, hello.
Hello.
It's amazing.
I'm actually...
It's such a great time to be alive because you truly sound like you're next door.
It's pretty amazing. The iPhone does a good job.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Well, what's going on in your life in China?
What's that?
What's going on in your life in China?
Well, I actually just moved here. I'm going to miss your meeting in Honolulu. So I just wanted to say that. I was so anxious to see you that I moved. So maybe sometime I can get you in China.
Okay. Hopping in that direction.
Yeah. So two things. I'll keep it to one topic. But one thing I was going to say about the move here is because I kept my sitting practice going, and it was just so amazing to see, you know, such a change in location and how it really kind of brought everything out as far as things I didn't see before, you know, having my daily routine and the same environment and just the shift of environment, how it really kind of, you know, highlighted everything that I didn't necessarily pick up on before as far as conditioning goes.
Yes. So if I'm understanding what you're saying, it's very difficult in familiar circumstances to recognize conditioning for what it is. Because it's
exactly.
It's just the air that you're breathing.
Yeah, and in just how much it's, you know, into every little corner of the life, you know, just turning around to grab a cup out of the cupboard, or, you know, getting things that are, you know, and especially in this environment where everything is can be so different, you know, at certain times. So that was just something that really stuck out. And so I just kind of been watching that change. And actually now, for me, what I'm seeing is I kind of saw it through the email class that we had going on that just finished. And kind of where I left off was like, what came up for me was like, I have a lot of hobbies that I had been kept going throughout my life, you know, playing the guitar and being in a band and doing martial arts and studying Mandarin. And so now I'm here working, and I'm having some of like my old, when I used to live here before, my old life, my friends and things that I see going on, and all these things kind of pull me, but I'd like to do all this stuff again, and yet, you know, my life is different, and I can see conditioning kind of, you know, grabbing a hold of it, because I only have so much time in the day to really focus on something that I'd like to, you know, like a personal goal that I'd like to get better at, say, speaking Mandarin. And I guess I'm just finding it challenging to accept that, I guess, or I don't know if that makes sense, like having all these things that I used to do and now seeing that I want to do them, but in some way can't.
Yeah. And so do you have a sense of, see if I can articulate this clearly, is it that you really want to do it, or are you being told in some way that you want to / should do it? Because
go ahead. I was going to say, I think it's interesting that you said that, because I think I know it's that I'm being told, because you know, like I had gone to see, what stuck out for me is because I went to go see an old friend who used to be in my band, and then he has his own band here in China, and I was watching it, and I was having all these reactions as I was, you know, watching the performance, and I was like, you know, all these, but what I saw through it was that, you know, I've moved on. It's been like 6 years, and I kind of look at it, and I'm like, you know, that's not really necessarily how I want to express myself these days, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But even though it's all very exciting, and so, and kind of what you're saying, I know, I think there is some being told, you know, that I should be doing this. This is who I am. It's kind of like the previous caller. Like, this is who my identity was, and now all of a sudden I don't have it. You know what I mean? Or it's not there.
And there,
and there's no reason.
There are several issues with it, right? This is who I was,
mm-hmm.
and there's a kind of a pull to it when I'm
mm-hmm.
reminded of it, but really, that's not who I am.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
it's interesting.
If there were 48 hours in the day, then maybe so, but the reality is I'm in this place, and I'm not the person I was then, and so,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably the good just talking through it, and I find a lot of similarities to the previous callers, I guess, in the process of it all. But just kind of talking through it to see conditioning. Yeah, someone telling me, you know, and I guess too the whole wow, you know, like how much of my life prior have I, you know, been reacting to being told, you know, and probably. You know, who knows what would have been could be the path to choose if I'm just choosing it out of reacting. You know, sudden my job goes south because I'm not paying attention to it because I all of a sudden thought I should have a van and you know all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just, I guess it's just yeah. That's pretty much what's going on. I mean, it was good just to kind of talk through it. I don't think it's much more complicated than that. Although I'd probably like to make it that, you know, make it more complicated. Conditioning would like to make it work.
Yeah, and just that pull that we all know to identity. You know, it's not my experience that egocentric karmic conditioning particularly cares what the identity is. It's just
mm-hmm.
have one. You know, have a focal point. This is who you are. It doesn't matter. But this is who you are. And so
mm-hmm.
then you get to view everything from that perspective, which works which works really well for ego, of course, because otherwise you would just be whatever is there in the moment. That's
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
good for ego.
Yeah, I guess that was going to be my question was like, that is true, that ego wants to pull so that way it has a perspective. And then my question was going to be like, well, then what, but you kind of answered it like, well, in the moment is who, you know, what is, but kind of, I guess I find the reassurances kind of to come in and actually say, well, what would be, I think I heard you say it for like someone who is questioning about eating, you know, it's kind of like, okay, in this moment, what would be most supportive for me now?
Yeah. What is,
do I want to?
If we want to talk about it in these kinds of terms, what is life calling me toward now? What am I being? What is life asking of me now?
Right, right, and that's what feels good. That's what feels supportive. That's what feels
And we can hear that voice, you know, with the content that you use. So the voice says to me.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it would be great to play the guitar again, wouldn't it? And if I'm not really paying attention, if I am really paying attention, I would probably say, well, yeah, you know, if I had a parallel life, that would be really great. But right now, I don't have any time or energy for that. So actually, no, it wouldn't be great. But we just feel the longing and it kind of, you know, pulls on those strings and you know, now I'm kind of depressed and feeling sort of sad and dissatisfied. It's like, how did I get here? You know,
what's really, really funny is too is when I was packing to come up, to come out here, I have a really good friend who kind of was helping me pack because we were looking at conditioning doing the packing. and I narrowed it down to like 4 suitcases, and I brought my guitar with me, and now I'm wondering who actually packed the guitar.
Yeah. That's fun, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and where was I while he was doing that?
You know,
what was I doing while he was making that decision?
Yeah. Seriously. So.
That's great.
Well, very good.
Thank you for checking in from the other side of the world. What time is it where you are?
It is almost 10 o'clock in the morning. It's actually a really good time. If I can balance it with work, it's actually really easy. But I'm using like a certain way to call like an application, so sometimes it gets a little choppy and cuts off, and then if there's more callers, it's hard. But you know,
yeah,
I try.
Tonight it's been perfect, so.
Yeah.
Right, or this morning. It's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, so. Stay in touch.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. I will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Peter. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was fun.
Yeah.
Technology's amazing.
Yeah, I think we've got a couple of fellows in China now and a gal in Korea, and we are spreading out.
Spreading out. We have another caller here.
Hi.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Listen, my name's Julie Burrell. I'm calling from Australia.
Wow.
And this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. So, actually, you've had very good callers on this morning. I've learned a lot, even just briefly. I was in Murphy's, funny enough, not too long ago. And I was thumbing through at my sister's house in Walnut Creek. And I found your book, The Fear Book, in my nephew's cupboard. And I was so overwhelmed by it that I took it back to Australia. It's in the high school now with the principal.
Wow.
To look, I've had a whole lifetime of being very intellectual based on the fact that I was surrounded by people, loving people, who were doing loving things by telling me what was wrong with me.
Yes.
So I feel very much of where people have said they've lost their identity. I don't think I have one.
Except as someone with whom there is something wrong.
Yes. Well, this is what I got from your book as well. I have met contact with spirits. I could done very extraordinary things. One of the things that I have a very difficult time with is feeling the fear. There is a claustrophobia. Someone once said that you were buried alive in a lifetime, somewhere, probably a past lifetime. Except for whether that's true or not, it's what I feel. Everything I know is based on the I am. I'm it. And everything I create, everything I think, say, and do is now coming into my awareness. I know I'm all over the place. What I'm trying to say is I'm trying, in my mind, to emerge from this, what I call, I'm trying to find the door out. And I guess self-acceptance is something I don't do very well. And even when even when I went home just recently, I could good people. But you're constantly defending yourself to people, constantly trying to say, wait a minute, you're my family. You're supposed to be loving me, regardless of anything else. We're here right now. I love you. We're in it together. Let's go forward. So everything I've, my Bible books are a book of called the Masters and the Teachers of the Far East. And in this book, it really teaches you, or at least it was given to me 15 years ago, and I carry it around. It's just kind of my Bible books, basically. I have not lived in my mind my life. I'm living everyone else's. And I'm getting older. And I guess one of the things that really hurts me is that nobody listens to you. They give you rhetoric back, and they say, get on with your life, get a job, do this. And nobody stops to really hear you. And hear that there's this whole human being just right in front of you. But
may
you,
don't
need much more than that.
May I?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But it's just a perfect spot. Because what I hear you getting is that people can't. Okay? I mean, people are programmed. They just, you know, you kind of push a button and they spout whatever it is that they've been taught.
I've been to Gangaji. I've been to Deepak Chopra. I've been to Joseph Dispenza down the rabbit hole. There is nothing you can say to me that I don't already know. It's really like basically accepting that you breathe and that's okay. Everything comes after that. You know what I mean? And
yes.
Loving myself, except for I'm not quite sure. I mean, I've been watching that movie, The Peaceful Warrior, every day. Everybody laughs at me about it, but I keep taking things from it over and over and over again. Find the love in what you're doing. You are here, you're now, you're this moment. You're, you know, there is no requirement, but then there are people around me who judge me for not working. You're not, you know, everybody's a mother. You know, you need to do something else. You're too fat. You need to do this. You don't listen to me. And you kind of get to this point where you think you spent your whole life defending yourself because I've come through this, I can't tell you, this black hole. And my muscles in my body, literally, I've been warring with myself for the last 20 years. And now it's affecting me in a scary way. And it's like I just can't seem to get anybody to hear me. To really
if you'll listen to me for just a minute, I'll give you the answer to that question, okay?
Okay.
The person who you need to hear you is you.
Right.
When you hear you, it won't matter what anybody else is doing. And on top of that, when you are really listening to you, when you actually learn to truly be there for yourself, to be present for yourself, what you're going to see is that other people are not there because they can't be. And instead of being judgmental or impatient with them, you're going to feel really sorry for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so ironic. One person said to me, you know, you should have a bit of kindness for them. They don't know what you're knowing. And I had to laugh. I thought, that's so ironic because I spent my whole life being belittled and scapegoated.
But here's the deal. If you could really get them to be honest with you, they'd say the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Darn near everybody on this planet, as far as I can tell, feels that way. And we just keep doing it over and over and over to each other, to our children, kind of to anybody that we can do it to. And you're right. It passes in many, many cases for love.
Right, okay. So in this situation, I sort of have not been loving myself for quite a few years because, you know, the thoughts come in, why bother, you know?
Yes, okay. Here's the deal.
One of the things is if you were to ask me what I would want, I believe strongly in not affecting change in people without saying or charging them anything. Change them just the minute second you see them. And I'm not actually saying that in a way that I know more than they do. But simply as a way of saying you don't have to, well, anyway, that and to feel strong about myself. And to actually, I stopped talking to people. I've literally pulled myself away from people.
Here's what my next suggestion. Get a copy of a book called There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Okay.
Okay? Read that one next, and then get back in touch with me.
All right, I will do that. Listen, okay. Sherry, I really, you know what, I have to say that all of your speakers have been very eloquent speakers. You know what, when I heard you speak, I like your voice, and I think you do hear people, and you're one of the few. So I'm really, really grateful for you doing that. I mean, bless his heart, I called the monastery yesterday, and he said, you know, I went into my normal personal thing. He said, you're going to talk to me personal. I said, well, yeah, if you'll listen. And he says, oh, no, we can't do that because, you know, we would have to accept worldwide calls and, you know. But all I can think of was, but I'm not the world. I'm right here. And no one knows I'm talking to you. And that's how my life is with everyone. It seems like you can't seem to get past their rules, their barriers, what they think is the truth. And none of it to me really matters because you're right here. And that seems to be second. And I guess if you would ask me really what I want, I'd just talk to God every day and just say, and one of the things I find frightening is that claustrophobia, because when it comes down, it really comes down as an anchor. And I can tell you, I jump up, I fast, I turn on lights, I go out in the air, I can't breathe. And I say to myself, I can't do this, God. I cannot get through this fear. It's so black that
okay,
I don't
well,
even know how to approach that.
You've got the little fear Bible there. We're going to have to go because we're out of time. But
right,
you've got the
okay.
little fear Bible there, okay?
Okay.
And it really does give you step by step, you know, approach it a
okay.
little bit at a time, get comfortable
and
with
this
the
can
sensation.
Be worked through.
And you can, I think you can work through any level of fear.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Hey, good morning. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Oh, yes, good morning. Listen, thank you to Michael, too. Listen, if you don't mind, if I read these books, can I give you a call back and see what I've come up with?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Sherry and Michael. I
all
appreciate
right.
your time.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Terry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, another big show.
Got an extra 5 minutes in there.
Yes.
Okay, then we better say good night.
Good night. Thank
Thanks,
you, Sherry.
Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye.